Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
To tie in this morning with the series that you guys have been looking at of legends and misfits. When Pastor Daniel asked me if I would come and speak, I wondered which category he saw me in, whether I was a legend or a misfit. To be honest, it depends what day of the week it is. Very often I wake up feeling like a misfit and going to sleep feeling like a legend. But our reading this morning and the scriptures that I would like to look at fits in with the Legends and Misfits series. So we're going to look at the woman caught in adultery, which is found in John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. It reads this: Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. But what do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, "All right, let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." A very interesting and well-known account, one of my favorite miracles of Jesus, an account of the compassion, the love, and ultimately the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ. Let's picture the scene. It's early in the morning. Jesus is sitting in the temple and a crowd has gathered around him as he teaches them the word of God. It's a picture of peace and tranquility. Suddenly, the peace is shattered by the noise of a baying mob. Angry male voices are shouting. There's the sound of a struggle. With a trembling voice, this woman cries out for mercy. The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees place her in front of Jesus. I'd like to look at three C's this morning about this woman. The first C is that she is confronted. The religious leaders inform Jesus that this woman was caught in the actual act of adultery. I don't need to paint a picture for you here. They drag this woman in front of Jesus and try and catch him out. They say to Jesus, "The law of Moses says to stone her, but what do you say?" They'll try to back Jesus into a corner. And we'll read that all through the Gospels. The Pharisees and the religious leaders, Jesus was radical, and they couldn't cope with how radical he was and his love for people. These leaders and Pharisees were trying to catch him out, and I don't know about you and your conversations perhaps with people that don't understand faith, but very often they'll try and catch you out. They'll try and catch Jesus out, if you like. Can you imagine for a moment how this woman must have felt? She would have been ashamed, trembling with fear, totally and absolutely racked with guilt. In the Old Testament, it states clearly that both men, a man and a woman who are caught in adultery, should face death. Where was the man? Jesus stoops down and starts writing on the ground. But these guys keep helping him and demand he take action against the woman. "Okay," he says, "the person who has never sinned should throw the first stone." In this statement, he totally disarms them. They start to leave. "The oldest first," it said. We ourselves can be very harsh on each other at times. I've heard it said that we judge people because perhaps their sin is different from ours. It's so, so true. But for us, we need to follow the example of Jesus. I thought I was a man of compassion and love until perhaps about 6 years ago when we started in the prison doing a service for a certain population of prisoners. I used to say things like, oh, there's no prejudice in me. I'm not judgmental at all. But as this group of men started to worship Jesus and share scriptures with me, I used to think, but I know what you've done. And God had to do a work in my heart and in my mind. And now God has given me a grace for all prisoners and I love what I do. What about gossip? Gossip does damage. One of the best definitions I ever heard about gossip was this. It's hearing something you like about someone you don't. We need to be so careful in the things that we say. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says this. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Gossip is something we can all be guilty of from time to time. But we need to stop putting people down and start lifting people up. We need to encourage one another. One of my mentors early on in my Christian journey was Pastor John Ivinson. And I was always, not always, but often getting into trouble and I'd be on discipline and different things. And I remember him taking me into his office and saying, Paul, why do you keep doing these things? And I said, Pastor Ivinson, I think I'm crazy. I think the drugs have scarred my mind. And I'll never forget him saying this. Paul, you're not crazy. You're a mighty man of God. I thought, wow, why isn't he sort of disciplining me and angry with me? And he said, Paul, encouragement is the environment for change. And it's so true. Discouraging people will never build them up. But as we encourage people, there's a belief that rises up in them. There's a confidence. There's a boldness. Let's be people who encourage. Here in the Northeast, so often we struggle to receive encouragement. We almost get suspicious when people are overly encouraging. So the woman was confronted. But secondly, the woman was cleansed. The only person in this account who was qualified to throw a stone at this woman refused to. Jesus deals with a woman by means of mercy and grace. She deserved judgment, but Jesus gives her forgiveness. The religious leaders condemned her and were convinced that she deserved death, but Jesus thought she was worthy of his love. He thought that she was worth saving. He looks at the guilty woman and he says, woman, where are your accusers? Doesn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she replied. Then neither do I. Go and sin no more, Jesus says. This is salvation in its purest form. In his book, Jesus Is, Judah Smith writes these words. Jesus was obsessed with showing mercy to those who least deserved it. He was passionate about giving hope to hopeless people. He was committed to showing grace to the worst of sinners. And if I'm honest, that includes me. And me, Judah Smith, might I add. I want to remind us all this morning that we serve a loving God who is never out to condemn us and will never remind us about our past. With Jesus, we look to the future, a great future, a future of purpose. You might be watching this morning and people have said terrible things about you and they love to bring up all your mistakes. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus loves you. Not in a cliche, print it on a t-shirt, Jesus loves you sort of way, but a deep love, a love that you feel, a love that you perhaps can't comprehend. It's absolutely radical. This woman never got what she deserved. Does that sound familiar? Is that your story? I remember a man who came along to our services in HMP Grampian on a Sunday. We'll call him John. That's not his real name. But I remember chatting with him, and he says, oh, I'm really struggling, and I knew that he would benefit from a chat. So I waited and went down in the afternoon and sat down with him in his cell. And I said, John, I've noticed you're very down. What is it? He said, well, he said, my brother has died. He said, my family, he said, I'm not welcome to the funeral. They don't want me turning up in handcuffs and making it all about me instead of all about my brother. That was his attitude. And I said, John, but your brother, he said, I can't believe I'll never see him again. I said, was he a man of faith? John said he was. We both gave our lives to the Lord and the Salvation Army when we were teenagers, and we journeyed with the Lord for years and years. And I said, will you have the assurance that you will see your brother again? And he said, why? How? I said, you promised eternity, John. You'll see him again in heaven. He put his head down. And he said, Paul, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I said, John, neither do I, but I'll see you there regardless. He bowed his head and started to cry, and you could hear his tears bouncing off the stone floor. You see, we don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve grace. But God pours it out on our lives regardless. There's a cleansing that takes place when we give our lives to Jesus. We are forgiven and set free from our past. Our last see this morning is this woman is completed. Jesus' last words to this woman are, go and sin no more. This is a very interesting statement from Jesus. He's not saying that she's innocent and he's acquitting her. In saying go and sin no more, he's saying that although he is in no doubt that she is guilty of adultery, he is granting her his pardon. Jesus here condemns the sin, but not the sinner. You know, we're all very quick to quote John 3, verse 16. But here we see John 3, 17 in action. It reads this, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Go and sin no more. He's saying to this woman, go and live a new life. Put adultery behind you. Put every mistake you've ever made behind you and live a new life. You know, you might be watching this morning and you've had enough of your life and you want to start a new life. The same offer, a new life, that was there for this woman who was caught in adultery is there for you. It's there for you. Go and sin no more. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 and 5 says, everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. You see, we are set free from sin when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And there is a difference between struggling with sin, having an issue that is a struggle, or indeed willingly giving in to sin, which is a different matter altogether. You know, there's many people who live in sin, and then they wonder why their lives are a mess, why they aren't being blessed by God, and why God perhaps isn't talking to them. I would encourage you this morning to lean on God, if you're struggling, to draw strength from him, to draw peace from God. We need to walk in freedom. Did Jesus think that this woman would never sin again? Of course not. But she was able to walk in the freedom and forgiveness that Jesus offered her. And we are no different. What about this morning? Do we have things that we are holding on to? We need to fight our flesh. I love the account of Jesus. He goes to pray and he leaves his disciples on watch. And he says to them, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Why is it when we do anything spiritual, there's a struggle that goes on? Perhaps for you, you think, oh, I'll take 10 minutes and read my Bible. And then you see your neighbor coming in the car through the window. You think, oh, I'll go and say hello. Your 10 minutes is gone. We need to be aware of distractions. Perhaps you go to pray, whatever it might be, there's always a struggle, there's always a little battle that goes on when we try and do something spiritual perhaps. A little voice in our head that might say, well, you read your Bible yesterday, you don't have to read it today. I would encourage you. Read your Bible, pray every day. I could burst into a Sunday school song here, but I'll spare you the torture that would be. Perhaps we need to forgive ourselves. Are we carrying hurts or pains from the past that we need to give to the Lord? When I was in Teen Challenge down in Wales, there was a beautiful woman who worked in the kitchen there. She was about 70 years old. She was like everybody's granny. Mrs. A was her name. And I remember I used to go in the kitchen and I couldn't cook and still can't. So I was always put on to peel the tatties. And I remember one day she took me into the pantry and she said, Paul, can I have a chat with you? And I said, yes, of course, Mrs. A. She said, make yourself a cup of coffee and make me a cup of tea and we'll have a chat. And she said this, she says, Paul, you haven't been yourself for a couple of days. Are you okay? And I said, I think so. I said, I'm struggling a little bit, but I said, I'm cracking on. I'm okay. And she said this, she says, Paul, you do know that you're forgiven. And I said, Mrs. A, I do. I said, I know that God has forgiven me through Jesus on the cross. I said, my family, I said, all the carnage that I caused them, they have forgiven me. And she said, but Paul, have you forgiven yourself? It hit me like a ton of bricks. I thought, wow, that's the issue right there. She said, if you can't forgive yourself, Paul, Christ died for nothing. Well, that took me on a journey of a couple of weeks of forgiveness, of learning what it was to forgive myself. Perhaps this morning you need to forgive yourself. There's nobody knows you like you, and you know when you need forgiveness. When this woman met Jesus, her life changed forever. Her sin was forgiven. Her guilt was removed. Her fear was turned to peace. What appeared to be a hopeless case suddenly became a life of forgiveness, salvation, and joy. One of my favorite books is Who Is This Man by John Ortberg. And in his book he says this, Jesus' impact was greater 100 years after his death than during his life. It was greater still after 500 years. After 1,000 years, his legacy laid the foundation for much of Europe. After 2,000 years, he has more followers in more places than ever. Wow. Why are we still preaching and looking at the life of Jesus this morning? 2,020 years after he walked the earth, there is power in the name of Jesus. This woman was confronted, she was cleansed, and she was completed. I want to pray for us this morning. You know, there's a disconnection between us and God. The Bible calls it sin. Sin is all the bad stuff that we've done that perhaps isn't pleasing to God. And because we couldn't keep God's standards, 2,020 years ago, God has sent his son Jesus to die in our place. Jesus was brutally nailed to a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. And the promise of God's word is that if we accept him this morning, we are forgiven for all the bad things we have done. And we will do. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And I want you to repeat the prayer after me. God loves us so, so much that he sent his son to die for us. How awesome and incredible is that? The promise of eternity. The promise of sins forgiven, of like the woman that we've looked at this morning, of being, perhaps I've confronted you with the news right now that you need Jesus. But the promise of being cleansed and the promise of being completed. I'm going to pray this prayer and I want you to pray it with me, if you will. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. I admit my need for you. I believe in you. I believe that you died on a cross for my sins and that you rose again, Lord, for me. Lord, I pray that I would experience resurrection life. Lord, I confess my sin to you this morning. All the things that I've done and all the things that I will do, I apologize for them now. I say sorry to you, God. Lord, I pray that I would, Lord, continue to live a life of purpose. Lord, that you would be with me. That you would give me the strength, the peace, and the endurance that I need to walk this journey. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.